All right, welcome to the Sunday edition of On Par at the Barclays. Pleased to be joined by former PGA Tour pro Mark Carnevale. Mark, thank you for joining me this morning.
Oh, great, Anthony. Great to be here. Fun week. It's going to be a big day today.
Yeah, huge day. Let's talk a little bit about the black and from your perspective as a former player, now announcer, just sort of, is this the happy medium between a U.S. Open setup and a PGA Tour setup? Because it seems like the conditions have been perfect.
The conditions have been perfect. Unfortunately, you know, despite the area not having a lot of rain recently, the golf course, when the players came in here this week, the ground staff, everybody was keeping it comfortable. And as we go through the week, that's what you want to see. You want to see a golf course get tougher as you go through the week. And without any rain, it has, which requires a player to be very much in control of his golf ball. But this is a big golf course. I mean, we play golf courses that are longer than this on the PGA Tour, but when you look at a Tillinghast design golf course, it's a lot different than a lot of the courses we play. It's really challenging both physically and mentally, and I think it is. It's kind of a great meld, and it's a great test for sure.
It's not often where in the game of golf that's played outdoors that the setup crew and the superintendents pretty much have control of the golf course, with Mother Nature as the boss being as fickle as she can be sometimes. But yet, it's worked out kind of perfect for this week.
Yeah, I remember back in 2012, the last time we were here.
Sure.
On Saturday, the golf course was kind of getting away from them. And obviously, that's learning. You know, they're not trying to do that. We see it from time to time on the PGA Tour where you think you've got it under control and something changes, the wind picks up, the temperatures change. When you're able to control the conditions to a degree, what it does, again, it puts the emphasis on the players to be able to control the golf ball, because you know that the fairways are going to firm up, so they're going to run through. So hitting fairways is more important. And matter of fact, earlier this week, Ryan Moore said, you know, even for him, and he's not one of the longer hitters,
sure,
if it means hitting a longer club but out of the fairway, he wants to do that. So at the end of the day, no matter where you play, controlling your golf ball is the most important thing. But it's really important here.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk a little bit about the green complexes, because I've heard many people talk about how there's a number of green complexes here that are relatively flat, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're easy.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I would look at, just off the top of my head, like even 10, it's got some slope on it, 9.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to, as a player, you want it to be fair, and I think that's what makes these greens complexes unique, is that even though some of them are flat, some of them have big undulations, they're fair, and there's nothing tricky about them. And I think that, as a player, that's what you like to see.
Real quick, in terms of the golf tournament, how do you see today shaping up? Do you have a sense of where you think this might go?
Well, as we come down here, and what we've known is only one player has ever won this event in the playoffs. That's Vijay Singh, and gone on to win the FedEx Cup Championship.
Yeah,
that was a few years ago. I don't know if that means anything, but as a player, what you're trying to do is get yourself in that top five headed into the Tour Championship, whether it means winning or not. Obviously, the main season, the regular season, has, you know, you get rewarded for that as you come in here, but you've got to maintain that. So when you look at a player like a Patrick Reed, who's in the top 10, or, you know, right there. When you look at Ricky Fowler, who's yet to win this year, and obviously there's other implications with this week as well.
Sure.
Players trying to make the Ryder Cup team. How much pressure that adds will be interesting. But when you have players like Adam Scott and Jason Day lurking just behind the leaders, those guys at the top better be careful. And then when you say careful, there's nothing you can do. You can't control what someone else does.
Sure.
But
no, I
you can't get wrapped up in that. You've got to go out and play your game, you know, that old motto, one shot at a time. I understand that. But you've got to be in control of your game. Obviously, Ricky's a winner on tour. Patrick's a winner on tour. You know, Martin Laird is there, Adam Scott, and so forth. But when you get down, further down the field, players are trying to increase their position. Obviously, to me, you know, you're 6-7 shots out. Probably not a chance to win. You never know, but probably not going to win. But you need to – what you're trying to do, again, is get to Atlanta.
Sure.
So there's so many different sort of tournaments within this first event. And then, of course, the field is cut down, so next week there's only 100 players. So the closer you get to that top of that FedEx Cup points list, then the longer you know you're going to be able to play. So it can be a key day for a lot of players.
Yeah, and kind of makes me think that Adam Scott is the player for me today, I think, for two reasons. Number one, I like what he said, that after 15 yesterday, he stopped thinking about putting, or this would be now Friday, I guess. He just stopped thinking about mechanics, and he rolled in about 150 feet worth of putts yesterday. And so his mind has been cleared, so to speak. He said he's got to drive the ball a little better, of course, but everybody has to do that. And the second part of that is that he's, unlike Ricky and Patrick, is not necessarily worried about the Ryder Cup. So he has a little bit more freedom there, too. It makes him sort of the dangerous person, I think.
Well, I agree with you. I was with him yesterday, and I saw that. And I was with him actually the first 2 days.
Right.
And he struck the ball well, as he indicated. Didn't make anything. I look for Adam Scott. If I'm back there, I'm thinking Adam Scott is making. Look, Jason Day, number one player in the world, certainly you have to think about. But I just don't think his game is where it needs to be right now. He's even said that.
Yep.
He's struggling with the left-right thing.
Yep.
Hey, those guys can change at any minute, and we know he's got the firepower, as does Adam Scott, to dominate this golf course. But I would agree with you. I think Adam Scott is the guy to look out for today.
Talk a little bit about Long Island and the metro area. It's a little bit of an embarrassment of riches in terms of golf courses. Your experience of playing golf on Long Island and in the area?
It's my favorite and pretty much in the world.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate. I've been able to play a lot of golf here on Long Island through the years. We used to live, when I was a kid, up in northern New Jersey. But my sister is actually a member at Shinnecock, so I've got to play there. I've played national a lot, Maidstone. I'm actually coming back up in a few weeks to play Friars Head National and Shinnecock. It's very unique. It's very, to me, you get out there and I feel at home on those golf courses.
Yeah, and it's sort of like people like to say, what's your favorite one? And I don't really think that's necessarily fair, because each one of them is so different. I mean, National is about fun and creativity. Not that Shinnecock isn't, but it's a totally different test of golf that asks totally different questions out of the golfer. And I think that you really shouldn't think of it as a favorite in terms of, and more in terms of enjoying what that test particularly brings.
Yeah, I would agree. I think when you look at Shinnecock, if you're a stick, I mean, if you're a low single digit handicap, if you're a plus handicap, I think you like Shinnecock because it's a challenge. It is a beast. It is gonna beat you up if you don't play well. National is fun.
Yeah.
It's imagination. It's obviously history in both. But if you're gonna play a match play, you want to play National. If you're gonna play stroke play and you're a good player, you want to play Shinnecock because you can dominate. But I forgot to mention Garden City, which I think might be my favorite of all of them.
Really?
Possibly, as far as being able to play along. It's very unique golf, and they're not, as you said, none of them are alike,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the beauty of it.
What do you like particularly about Garden City? Because it does get sort of overshadowed a little bit. I think most hardcore golfers know about how good it is. We're aware of it, but there hasn't been the access visually. It doesn't show up in a lot of magazines. It doesn't. So people don't have, they feel a little disconnected from it. What is it particularly about Garden City?
I think it's just the layout, which is, it's very similar, not very similar, but it's like National. I mean, Shinnecock is a course that they've lengthened
yep.
over the years.
It's a championship
yeah.
test. I mean,
yeah.
that's
Garden
no question.
City, National, they haven't had to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the beauty of a golf course. You don't have to touch it. I don't care if it's 6,400 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, an example would be Paso Tiempo out in California. It's probably the longest 6,500-yard golf course you'll ever play. But it challenges you, and that's what Garden City does. It doesn't have to be length. I have always felt, and over the years, that imagination and talent has been taken out of the golf game.
Absolutely.
Because of adding all this distance and its power. Garden City, to me, is the emphasis, is like the epitome.
It brings the artistic
yes.
nature
yeah.
back into the game of
yeah.
golf.
Which is like National as well.
Yep. One last question. You know how boisterous the fans here yeah. in New York can be. You know how passionate they're about, particularly Bethpage Black. You've probably heard quite a few funny things. Anything you can share that? I mean, I heard when I was following Phil around, you know, a Bonesy baby and stuff like that. There was a guy behind 14th who's sort of doing like a Jim Nance. He's got a CBS jacket. Yeah, and you heard about that. But just talk a bit about the crowds, if you heard anything good.
You know, it was actually probably the funniest thing is that no matter why, where I go, even whether it's here or not, I was walking off 14 and says, hey, where's Faraday? And I just said, he doesn't work for CBS anymore. you know, you've got to love that. You've got to love the passion.
Sure.
And the excitement. And I would say 95% of those that are boisterous understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happens, you have some that kind of go over the edge too much. And not only ruin it for themselves and the players, but, you know, the other fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with being excitable.
No.
But, you know, New York is big. It's and they like to let everybody know that they're number one.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, I've always felt like fans were the most important part of the game, not even the players.
Yep.
Because as events come to communities, it's about that community. It's not about the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's about them being able to generate charitable dollars for this area that we're in right now. And so the fans, if they understand that, it's also a reflection upon them and their community, how they act and how they respond and what they do. But, you know, you can't control certain fans. You try not to, as a player, I never let it bother me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hey, if someone's out there having fun.
Patrick Reed said he enjoyed it. He said he had to quiet.
But you hope sometimes that people would sit there for a second and just
think for a second.
They say something.
Not a chance.
Not gonna happen.
No, especially after a few cocktails.
Yeah.
Mark, I know you got a busy and exciting day ahead of you. Thank you very much for a few minutes of your time. Appreciate it, as always.
Anthony, no problem.